I just kind of fell in love with hip hop and I wanted to like learn everything I could about it. And as a young kid, I had no idea that we had our own scene until I think it was, I heard like Potluck. I was like really young and it like became an obsession, like the whole culture. And like I have screenshots of emails of me like emailing like the contact, this old website where Potluck had all the music and shit when like MySpace was still like was first popping and shit. And yeah, I just remember I'm like 12, 13 years old. And that's, I feel like when I started being like, okay, like I want to do this shit professionally. Like I'd been writing poems and songs like at a very young age, but I started making contacts when I was around like, I'd say 12 or 13 years old. And yeah, it's so long ago now, you know, but it still feels like, it still feel like you just had to kind of be there for that, the way that it felt back then. It was like a whole different vibe. Like the vibe at Humble is cool now, but there's something like very more personable back then when you had to like physically hand somebody a CD or like, you know, actually like just go out and like, there was so much more, like, I feel like support back then from the community as a whole, you know? And so being a kid growing up and falling in love with hip hop and like seeing that there are people here that are doing songs with E-40 like Potluck was, and like even Highway, he's not that much older than me, but I looked up to him a lot when I was younger. Like I had like all his like mixtapes and shit like that. And I think when I was like 19, I did a song with him. And like, I admittedly now, like now that I'm older and like way more polished, like I absolutely hate my verse on it. But like the fact that he like did that out of just like the respect, it was like there were bar shows and then there was a place called Under the Sun in Fortuna. And that was like more like all ages. And that was my first local live show was like that I like saw, not that I performed at, was there. And it was Highway. And like back then there was a group called like the Thick Family. And it was just so cool to see people that were like active in this culture that I was so obsessed with as a kid. Not, you know, like, cause we're in, you know, in Northern California, like behind the Redwood Curtain and everything's happening in LA and the Bay Area and shit like that. So you're like, you know, like just to see like a community of people, it was so sick. And then I don't know, I just kind of fell in love with it after that. It was like this is what I want to do. And the problem at the time was I'm like 12, 13 years old and all these shows are like 21 and over. They closed the all age venue. And I think that was like shortly after that show that I went to. But I think I was about 14 or 15 and I was at Eureka High. And there was this guy there. He was my mentor. His name was Leaf. Him and a couple other kids, we started a hip hop group at the school, and it was like a lunch group where we go and freestyle and shit. And I just came to him and I was like, yo, what if we threw a show in the auditorium? Like, what if we just did it after school one night? We got it approved by the school and we just threw a hip hop show. We could say, you know, we'd like keep it appropriate. And like, I'm 15 at the time and I'm like, you know, what if? And I was just like, yo, like, this is something that we could like do. You know what I mean? MySpace is starting to pop off at the time. The internet is getting a little more active in the scene. You know what I mean? But we're still doing like the like flyering and like doing the stapling the fucking flyers to the pole and shit, you know, like. And so I was like, fuck it, you know, like, fuck it, let's do it. And literally it was just the parents that showed up and like one of my algebra teachers, I think. And it was still the funnest shit I had ever like done in my life. And it was just performing. And I was like, this is the shit I want to do. And I had stage fright so bad back then. I couldn't even record my music with anybody else in the room. Like me back then believing that I'd be doing something like this face to face, I would have never believed you. Cause I was such a shy kid, but that like obsession and that passion to like do the shit that, I don't know. I grew up listening to hip hop and it got me through a lot of shit. So to be able to do something and be part of that community was so fucking sick to me. And I just took it and ran with it because there was no all age venues or shows happening at the time. And I was part of this after school program called the Mars Project, and they're actually still around, which is really sick. They have a whole recording studio and everything. Super sick. I ended up putting on my first actual successful show when I was 16, and I did it through the Mars Project. I did it as a fundraiser. Like, my whole thing was like, I don't care about making money off all this. I just want somewhere to go perform and somewhere for like younger crowd to go and see hip hop. You know what I mean? To feel that feeling, because otherwise, you know, you get bored as fucking Humboldt County. What else is there to do but get in trouble? Let's just go to shows. Let's, you know what I mean? Do something that isn't landing us in trouble and shit. So that's kind of where it all started. I was in high school putting on different shows. Like, I'd been on the radio a couple of times, interviewed, and like, it's crazy to me, like, to think about it like now, because the internet is so popular, you forget how much it meant back then to be on the radio. You know what I mean? To be walking down the street and somebody recognize you by your, like, you know, your music. And to me, like, that was everything. And I don't know, that's like the vibe that I definitely miss in Humboldt, because I feel like now, like, there's so much talent out there, but I feel like there's like kind of like this rivalry between like people specifically who like rap, I feel like, you know. And I just like the community part of it is like really important. And I feel like if we don't hold on to that, like that feeling, and like start forgetting why we're like doing it, it's going to, like, you know what I mean? Dilute the water, if that makes any sense, you know?
Yeah, no, for real. It does. It does. And I think that's one of the things about Humboldt that makes Humboldt and a lot of communities in Northern California so great, is that they're close knit. And, you know, people are cool, and people are cool with collaborating. And then you get, you know, people come from out of the area and try to claim and rep and not even acknowledge the folks that have been here. And that's just like a sign of respect, you know? Yeah,
exactly. And that was my next thing, because like, I'm looking at groups like Potluck, there's Garth Cultivator, the Brian B. Swizzlove, just like all them. Like my first big show down at the Mateel that I'd ever gone to was it was Humboldt Hip Hop. And there's a picture of me on Potluck's page, and you can see me, I'm like 13 years old in the front row, just like going ham. And like, was so beautiful, because it was like the OGs, you know what I mean? Flash forward, I'm almost 30 years old now. And I feel like part of that culture now, because like you said, like, people are coming out of the area and they want to put the Humboldt brand on just because, you know, it's weed capital and this and that. And they forget about, you know, what people, what the OGs have gone through and the struggles and shit to like cement this and make Humboldt what it is. And then you have people that come from out the area that just want to make a quick buck. It definitely fucks up the culture, because Humboldt was about community for the longest time, you know? And it's crazy how it bleeds into the hip hop community. From my personal perspective, it seems like you've got these people that come up here to Humboldt County, and they're like, okay, we got this money. So they start buying, you know, they have the money to book these crazy venues and stuff. And then they just like surpass past, you know, like the people who built it, you know, the reason that Humboldt hip hop still exists so strong within the community. And they just skip right over it to who's got the most money, who can trade the most, whatever. And that's just my perspective personally. But back then it was about respect and whether or not you had it. I've been to some shows and it's like, you know, the studio shit sounds good, but the live show is just fucking whack. You know, I just feel like the live shows were like the best part about the community. You know, it was like going there, staying through the whole fucking show because you supported your community, not leaving with your homies. You know what I mean? Not just coming for your homie set, drinking and dipping, you know? And it's just, it's kind of sad to see like the lack of support from other rappers in the community. Everybody's just kind of like, gimme, gimme, gimme. And you know what I mean? It's just, I don't know. It's crazy.
I know. No, everybody's scraping. And you know, that's the interesting thing is that I was just talking to a friend was asking me, he was like, you know, like, well, why do you, you know, is Hip Hop Humbled is the Instagram account and the brand that I'm doing, right? And it's like, well, why do you share music on your stories that's not like humble hip hop? It's like, well, I'm also trying to just like let folks know what I'm listening to build a connection. It's like building that connection, you know, and like then being willing to collaborate with other people. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
It's a part of that. And when you can kind of do that in a community, I think that that's the proper formula to at least get started, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. And that's how it was back in the day. But instead of shit like, you know, podcasts or, you know, like being able to DM and like do Zoom work. It was, you know, like, hey, take my CD. You know what I mean? Like you get a t-shirt, I'll throw in the CD, or just handing it to people. Be like, you don't like it, you can toss it, but just give it a shot. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And that's like, that's how I gained a lot of respect. I was just pumping out just work. And I was just like, I was persistent as fuck. To the point, like I'm in high school and like burning CDs for people. Like I would burn mix CDs from like LimeWire and shit, but I'd throw a couple of my songs in there. You know what I mean? And then I would fucking shop them around high school. And that's how I built what I built. And so when the internet kind of came over and like took hold, like the SoundCloud scene, it kind of took hold of the music. For a minute, I was part of that group that was just like, what the fuck is this bullshit? You know what I mean? But then I started getting people that were listening to my music in Australia. I have a fan base in Australia. I have people listening to my shit in India. And I've made a post about it. Like when I was 11 or 12 years old, handing out these CDs, thinking, how the fuck am I going to get this in the hands of people across the world? The internet and you know, people like you and people like the county of Humboldt County, like all of my people that rep my music and show their friends and even just a simple shout out, like, that is what we need more of in the community, but we need it locally within all the artists because we're all from the same place trying to do the same thing. And instead of trying to step on top of each other, we need to be helping each other up. There needs to be more of that shit.
Mm-hmm. For real. I feel you. I feel you. It's interesting that, you know, the at least when it comes to like the streaming game, because that's something that I think is important that you brought up, you know, like that really changed it and took away that personal aspect to where it's a whole lot harder now to make that connection with people. And so then that takes it back to the live shows, like you were talking about, that really is the way to make a connection, you know?
Yeah.
So I got the same thing to really think about, you know, is that like, I wonder, I have my feeling on, you know, the folks that can do some really dope live shows. And then I've also got a lot of people that I haven't seen that from yet. So, you know, we'll have to see them actually do that and build that connection now that hopefully, you know, we're entering a bit of an endemic stage and people are getting back out there. You know what I mean? It's good to see. And I really think that there's a lot of ways that you can build connections with your audience and with other artists and musicians in this small community that have already laid like this really great foundation and beautiful framework for the culture around here. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like it's already there. And so you really can't just come in and even if you've been here, you really can't just like kind of step on it. You have to really just kind of like stand with everybody. And I feel that. I like that energy for real.
Exactly. And it's not a matter of the old heads and the old generation and humble and the new generation. You know what I mean? Because I don't really feel like for me personally, I'm at a weird in between because I was a lot younger than the OGs, you know, than everybody back in the day. But also, you know, I'm not as young as these new cats that are coming out of Humble. You know, I'm like right there in the middle. And I just feel like if I have the advantage of being in the middle ground and seeing like it's possible, you know, to just coexist and really just try to like put Humble on the map the way it should be. You know what I mean?
For real.
Not a matter of like competing against each other. You know what I mean? It's like we got to bring it back to that community, like the roots of Humble hip hop, essentially.
And with what I see going on out there now, like you got this show coming up with Travi Bands, you know, that's going to be real dope. And that's the kind of thing where when you see shows with multiple artists from Humboldt County, you should be coming out to those shows just to show support for culture. And you know what I mean?
Especially, you know, with like you said, the endemic and like the live shows coming back, people are paying top dollar to see shit ton of artists come to town. Like you can't 10 spot get you in the door, have a couple beers and support, you know what I mean? You're not only local artists, but other independent touring artists that, you know, are coming through and, you know, want to see. We just want to show everybody like how we get down, you know. And it's been a minute since I've performed. I'll admit, like, I'm a little I'm nervous in a sense. I haven't been on a stage in 2 years, you know. Mm-hmm. But live shows for me are like everything. I leave my energy on the show or on the stage. And it's cool because I actually added another local artist, Rock Slang. They're both he's Travi Band's label mate, and it's gonna be sick. I performed with him when I first started out when I was 15, actually. He was part of the North Bay Riders, and he's dope as fuck. He's very very fucking talented, and I'm very excited to get to see him live and perform with him again, because it's been years since I've shared the stage with him. So I'm excited about that too.
That's what's up. Now, I thought it was interesting that you brought up you were younger and when the CD game was popping, that, you know, it was commonplace for folks to be slanging CDs, you know, out of a, you know, trunk or just at shows or just in different spots throughout up and down the 101, whether it's in Humboldt County or down there where you are in Petaluma. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like that was just kind of normal. And it that connection that you were able to build is something that I think a lot of people are still trying to figure out how to make that work in this completely like digital, like information age. You know what I mean? And then on top of that, I really feel like, honestly, some of these platforms, they're really not geared for creators. You know, there's, you know, whether it's copyright this, infringement that, or, you know, restriction and block this that they're going to do to you. You can't go live. And like, if you have some music that you dropped on a DSP, like under your, like under a label, like that, you know, you can't go live and play that music because they'll try to copyright strike it. Right.
Yeah.
You know, and that's crazy. And that's your own music. You know what I mean? And so it just makes it that much harder for artists. And I don't know, if I just wonder if some of these new elements with the digital age has made that bit of like folks just all kind of trying their hardest to, you know, get what they can get out of the big pie that is folks spending money. Right. I think that that's a formula that I've heard in different places. Is what you want to try to do is find people that are your do or dies, that are your ride or dies, that are going to spend like $100 on you a year and then just like maximize that. Right. And they said, like, this dude said that like Drake has, you know, done that model and just maximized, you know, it to the, you know, as far as he could. Right. And so then like on a local level, you're really trying to do that same thing. And then in a place like Humboldt County and Northern California, where so much money is put into the arts and there's so much art, you know, coming out of this area, it gets really hard to fight for that bit of market share of people that are paying attention and spending money on music. You know what I mean? It's difficult. You know what I mean?
But it's hard.
Yeah. Shout out to you though, because you stay consistent. I think that's a key, you know.
Thank you. It's definitely been switching from like hustling CDs out my backpack at school to like, you know, like to trying to figure out how to promote and how to stand out in the digital. I'm still figuring out, you know what I mean? I'm just now picking up traction online. And the key to it for me, at least personally, is to be authentic to myself. And that's the I get on TikTok, you know what I mean? Cause that's, I find a lot of artists on TikTok, you know, which is an awesome tool. But a lot of it is just very copy pasted, everybody trying to sound like everybody else. And I'm down for versatility. Like I'm one of the most versatile artists currently that, you know, like in my mind, like not out of everybody, but like I'm like full on versatile now. You know, I like to do everything, but then there's people that are doing it to kind of jump on that bandwagon, but it's not authentic to themselves and you can tell. And then there's people that, you know, are creating what they want, and like, it might not pop off now, but I feel like the authentic shit will like shine through this temporary shit. And I think that's the key for me, at least, is to keep it real with myself, to like look in the mirror and be like, okay, I don't give a fuck what anybody else thinks about the shit that I drop. If I fuck with it, that's all that matters. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, of course, like, I love getting feedback regardless of the kind of feedback from people, because I, you know what I mean? Like, that shit matters to me as well. But for me, I started making music because it was how I expressed what I was going through and how it was my therapy. And, you know, like, I just want to stick with that, if that makes any sense.
Oh yeah.
And I feel like the authentic shit is always just going to be like, I don't know what the word is for it. I'm sorry.
No, it's going to be what hits. It's going to be what connects with people.
Exactly. You know? 'Cause you can tell when you like listen to an artist, when they're raw and authentic to themselves, you know, at least I can, you know, I grew up like music is everything to me. So, and that's the kind of people I'm trying to connect with, the people who feel like I do about music. So that's, you know,
yeah,
that's what matters to me.
I feel you. Yeah. It's that love for the music that really drives the right people to make dope music. You know, you get exactly. A lot of people that may enter the game for whatever reason, you know what I mean? And it's not an easy game. So you're going to filter out and, you know, there's a lot of bodies are going to drop off at that point. Yep. Just from that. It's not easy.
'Cause it's not overnight. Mm-hmm. It's not.
Yep. Yeah.
And if you're doing it for an easy buck, or you're doing it to like gain to get fame or whatever, then it's not shit, you know? Because eventually that, you know, you're gonna realize that you can't just like do shit overnight. Somebody's overnight is 10 years, you know?
By chance, off the top of your head, can you talk about the last show that you did perform at before things got locked?
Sheesh. Before the pandemic, bruh, damn. It was either opening for Neff the Pharaoh for Toys for Tots in 2018, right before 2019, I think. Or it was my homecoming show at Siren Songs Tavern in June of 2017. I don't know. I did like a lot of like open mic type shows, but those are the ones that stand out to me off the top of my head.
That's dope. So you opened up for Neff the Pharaoh.
Yeah, it was super lit. It was for Toys for Tots, and you know, hustled tickets, and it was crazy. It was I can't even remember for the life of me who else was on the lineup, but it was so lit. It was so much fun. That was a crazy night. I definitely like had the time of my life. Shit was lit. I'm excited, you know, like whether it's five or 500 people, I'm always showing off, like, you know, showing out, because like I said, that's my shit right there. Live shows, I'm ready.
Mm-hmm. I feel you. That's what's up. Where was that show at again?
Shit, the Neff the Pharaoh. It was God damn, where was that at? Where Red Fox Tavern used to be. I think it's a comedy club now, but it was a venue before that as well.
That's what's up.
It was Live and Humble, I believe is what it was called.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. That spot's had a lot of different music acts through it over the years.
All I ever wanted to do was perform at the Red Fox Tavern, and right before I turned 21, that shit got closed down. Mm. Shit, I remember being a kid. If you performed at Red Fox... or the Mateel you were in. I got to perform at the Mateel, though, which was sick. I opened for Roach Gigs, which was super sick. That was a lot of fun. Like, I've gotten blessed with a lot of opportunities. Like I've opened for Mystic Roots Band and Pato Bantan. I've opened for Roach Gigs, Neff the Pharaoh. And like, I've just gotten blessed with a lot of opportunities musically. And I just love the shit. I'm excited to get back to it, and I'm hoping that COVID will calm its ass down so I can get the ball rolling and keep putting on shows and shit.
That's what's up. That's what's up. Build back those connections that people have been wanting.
Exactly. I gotta come back from the dead.
Nah, you ain't the only one. We're all coming out of, that COVID cave. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Crazy so, 2 years.
Yeah, I feel you. But glad we all made it out. We're here, and that's what's up.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
Yeah. So now that's real cool. You were talking earlier about how you started real early or real young, like when you were about 15 in school, and there was you said it was like a school group, right? Like kind of like a
it was like a lunch club, you know what I mean? At lunch we'd get the auditorium, would be the stage, and the group was called Rapper's Delight, right? And so it was just like we would like freestyle at lunch on the auditorium, but then we started getting into like more serious shit. Like me and my friend from high school, his name is Preston, and Leaf, I believe he still works at Eureka High. He does everything. He's a sound tech for theater, and there's a projection room in the auditorium. It's upstairs, and we made a recording studio in there, and my writing from when I was 15 on the wall, all my lyrics are still written up there.
Oh, wow.
To this day. So I'm trying to, when I go up there, I've been trying to organize a way for me to get in there and document it just in case they decide they want to revamp everything. I don't want the history to be gone because I made a lot of music up there. I won a lot of talent. We won second place in the talent show on that stage. Like that group helped me get over my stage fright. Like it was crazy. That and like taking theater at Eureka High was just like some of like honestly the funnest times. Like it's so crazy to me that like my lyrics from when I was 15 are still on that wall up there. Like that's nuts to me.
That's dope.
I definitely got to get some documentation of that shit before they decide to renew everything and shit. So
yeah, for real. That's cool. And then from there. Well, at what point, and I'm not trying to get into your personal history if it's not hip hop related, but like at what point did you move down to Petaluma?
Oh, shit. September.
Oh, okay.
This year. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, wow. No. Yeah. Just recently, actually. And it's cool because, I mean, I've lived a lot of different places. I moved in 2014. I moved to Chicago for about 4 years. And then I came back in 2018. But yeah, like I have the traveler bug, you know, I like to get around, but like I always end up back home in Humboldt. That's where I grew up, you know. But yeah, I came down here in September. I haven't had too great of a chance to network because all I do is fucking work to pay bills and shit, you know. But now that we're in this, you know, end stage, hopefully of COVID, I'm definitely hoping to make connections because there's a really fucking cool venues down here. Very, very dope venues down here. So I'm definitely hoping to network, you know?
That's what's up. Yeah, take it closer and closer to the Bay. You know what I mean?
Exactly. I'm definitely trying to get, you know, that humble representation down here, if that makes any sense. Like when I was in Chicago, I still was like, you know, I may be out here, but like no matter where I'm at, like 101 is always going to take me home. You know what I mean? If that makes any sense whatsoever. I'm a little stoned right now.
Nah, that makes perfect sense. I feel you. I think a lot of people are the same way with Humboldt. People may leave Humboldt, but a lot of people come back. You know?
Yep.
And there's definitely something about the culture. You know what I mean? It's something that's real. You know, it's just different. So it's just something that people know. It's not a brand because there's all kinds of different things going on
in Humboldt. Exactly. It's like a lot. Like, I don't know. It sounds really corny to say it's a lifestyle, but you know what I'm saying? Like I've been places like Seattle and like, you know, and I can tell when somebody is from Humboldt, you know, you can just, I mean, other than like growing up there and fucking I grew up in Eureka, you know, in the same neighborhood, and, you know, I grew up on over like near Winco and the projects over there. So like I knew everybody growing up. So it's not hard to like be able to spot somebody, but you know, it's just, there's just a vibe. You feel me? Like And I definitely am sensing that vibe coming like back to Humble Hip Hop. Not necessarily that it left, but I think COVID definitely like COVID and then like the whole legalization thing with the inflation of like money over talent type rappers, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But now that all the people who were just in it for a quick buck are realizing, okay, this isn't as easy now. I think we're getting back to that sense of community, which excites me personally, because I may be down here, but I'll be back and forth all the time. You know what I mean? That's my home and that's my culture. That's where there would be no Maniac the Rapper without Humble County and without without fucking Potluck, without Beast Wizlow, without all those people that laid the groundwork, there wouldn't be me, you know, because I wouldn't have known that I could do it too. If that makes any sense, it would just be like a pipe dream to me, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I feel like this is important.
Yeah, nah, definitely. It's crucial to have people that can really like pave the way and show folks that it can be done in your town. You know what
exactly.
I mean?
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And that was that for me, seeing people that were from the same place. It even like makes me spaz out now, like Highway, his video. The first time I heard Top Floor, the first time I seen that video, that shit like gave me chills, like, and I could feel my whole body like tearing up, because like I've been looking up to this dude since he was 18, and I'm like some 13-year-old fucking nobody, and I'm like, this dude is a fucking famous, you know, he's like, it sounds like so like corny. I'm not trying to dick ride or anything, but I've been a huge fucking Highway fan since I was a little kid, and so like to like have that. I feel like I have like a friendship with him now, which is cool. You know, we're not like close homies, but like I definitely consider him a homie, which is fucking cool, because 13-year-old me would be spazzing the fuck out right now. You know what I mean? And that's just, you know, that's just me like being honest. Like I looked at local hip hop when I was younger, like they were fucking celebrities to me, even though we were like, well, I'm just seeing a homie from Potluck. If I see him at the mall, I'm like, oh my fucking God. But he grew up here too, you know what I mean? And it's just like to like be so involved in that community now at the age that I am now, like my younger self would be fucking stoked to like even know that I'm on a podcast about Humble, you know what I'm saying? So it's just, it's cool. And it, like I said, I wouldn't have known that I was able to do this without seeing them do it from the same place that I'm from as well, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. Nah, that's crucial. And that's so dope, because now you're an inspiration for a lot of folks in Northern California. Lord. And like you said, across the globe, actually, you know.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, it's still like sometimes I definitely, you know, I'm my biggest critic. I suffer from like depression, anxiety and like all that shit. So like I definitely am really hard on myself. But then I just think back to that. I think back to like 12, 13-year-old me. And like, I'm somebody that I would look up to in the community. You know what I mean? And that's where it's at. That's why I do this in the first place. You know? Mm-hmm.
Yep. That's what's up. And then looping back to like, you were talking about your love for the culture. You know, I think that that's, you know, something that drives really good artists that have stayed consistent to just, you know, continue to keep going. The marathon continues, you know?
Exactly. Exactly. It gives like, it's just motivation, you know, to like get up and keep doing this shit. Cause it's, you know, it's like I've said it before, like I don't give a shit if I ever get super famous or rich off making music. I mean, yeah, it'd be cool to be able to like support my family doing something I love, but like if I have 1 or 1 million fans, it don't matter to me. The fact that like somebody fucks with me the way they fuck with me, like that's all that matters. You know, mm-hmm. And that's important.
Yep. Yep. And I know people fuck with you. That's for sure. Like, you know, and that's one of the things that's cool, too, is that being a leader of, I don't want to just say like the new school, but, you know, being an artist that has shown respect to the people that laid the foundation and has continued to hold that torch like you have. You know, I think it's really important to see that. We need people to be brave in the community. We need people to step up.
Hell yeah.
Because music is something that touches people's hearts. And, you know, like, I mean, I thought about this a lot in my years, being a big fan of hip hop and just music in general, is that music is really like, you're like, folks making music are really like the new preachers, like the new, like, influencers for real in people's lives.
Exactly.
You know, so it's crucial to have folks that are moving the bar forward, you know, like I said, holding that torch and repping where they're from, because you haven't ever stopped repping Northern California. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I agree with that. It's so important to just like hold on to that, to be able to like continue on without burying what made Humble Hip Hop what it is, if that makes sense. You know, to be able to be like, okay, we're developing and growing, but we're still going to pay homage to the people who got us this far. Like, nobody knew who the fuck there were any rappers in Humboldt County like years ago. I used to tell people that I was a rapper and motherfuckers would laugh at me. But now I'm at a party, I'm like, oh yeah, I'm a rapper. I got four of the motherfuckers. Like, oh yeah, me too. You know what I mean? Or like my homies are, you know what I mean? And that's cool. Don't get me wrong. I'm not knocking. I mean, if that's what you love, that's what you love. Go for it. You know what I'm saying? But like, there's a point where it's just like, it's just bragging points to some people. You feel me? Like, it's just a jacket that they can wear to like become like cool or whatever, if that makes sense. So
yeah, no, I feel you. I understand exactly what you're saying, because I think that that's one of the things that's interesting about hip hop is that, especially nowadays with like modern technology, right? Like, it's basically like almost anybody can hop on a computer and make something that might sound kind of dope, but to really have the talent. And on top of that, like, that's what sets musicians and artists apart from folks that are just trying to, you know, clout chase, is that the energy to maintain and that longevity, like you keep talking about, like, that's crucial. And folks that may come in and just, you know, make some stuff and, you know, may take some nice samples and make something sound real dope or whatever.
Word.
You know, like, that might not be what really keeps you going long term. You know what I mean? Like, it's a hard game. You know what I mean? And so.
Exactly. And it's hard because like as an artist, for me personally, there's always a struggle is to like, you almost kind of want to jump on the bandwagon of what's popping just so you can get noticed. But my thing is, I don't want to, because like, when I'm with my friends, dude, I make up some goofy shit. I be making up goofy ass songs all the fucking time. And I'm like, I bet you if I recorded and threw this dumbass shit on TikTok, it would blow up. But I don't want to be known as a joke rapper. That's not a joke to me. You know what I mean? Like, you know, and I don't want to be looked at like I'm disrespecting or appropriating the culture that I love and respect so much by doing that, if that makes any sense.
Oh yeah.
So like there's always that struggle is like, you want your shit to pop off. You know, like for me, it's like I battle with like that's not authentic to me. You know, I mean, like, I'm goofy and shit, but that's not the kind of like, that's not the kind of shit I put out. That's not, you know, like I'm not that kind of, this kind of shit isn't like just a gimmick. You feel me?
And that's one of the things I love about Humboldt Hip Hop is that, you know, I think that it's something about the community that lends itself to the music as well, because folks are willing to just put the music out that feels good for them, because they know that that's going to feel good to folks, you know, listening to it. You know what I mean? Like I was just in the studio with some folks last night, you know what I mean? And they made a feel good track. And that's like, that's really Humboldt Hip Hop. It's like, you know, because this is a good area. You know what I mean? It's a place where you smoke, relax, enjoy yourself, enjoy life, feel good. That's what you're supposed to be doing. Yeah.
Yeah. And just like, there's that authenticness when you're vibing like that, and that's the kind of vibe that like, that's the kind of vibe that like the whole community needs to like thrive on, is just like being, just creating shit, you know, creating like feel good shit. Humble Hip Hop has definitely got a beautiful, like an amazing, like feel to it. Like coming up, just like, When I listen to certain songs from those artists that came out at that time, it like brings me back, you know, to like being that young ass kid, and just like the fact that I'm now that for somebody is just super sick. And I just want to like keep that shit alive and not let it get lost in too much of this, like, you know, like likes and followers bullshit, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, nah, for real. I really love that track that you, and you have to remind me actually when you released it, because I know this, I think this is a track you released like a couple years ago, if I'm not wrong.
Oh, shit.
That California track.
Damn, yeah, that's a, oh, that, 2016, I think, is when I recorded it, and I released it in 2017.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's got a Cali feel to it, and that's, you know.
Exactly.
That's always going to hit in Cali. Like, I mean, it doesn't matter, but I just barely heard it in like 2021. You know, yeah. It hit like it was brand new in Cali, you know?
See, that's like, that makes me really happy to hear, because that's what I'm going for. You know, it's like that feel, like with that track, that's what I was hoping for, you know? And that's why I have the Tupac quote in the beginning of it, you know, like, that and the track I released with Tragedy recently, the That's All track, that has that more like Bay Area feel to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I say I'm versatile in a sense of like, I don't just make one style of rap or one style of whatever. Like, I'm a rapper, but I incorporate everything that I listen to into my shit. So everywhere that I've been, my identity is on the track every time, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, that's what's up. That's a sign of an artist right there that can really get themselves on the track. Oh, for sure. Like, you know, not everybody's giving themselves like that. And when you can really, I feel like that's giving a piece of yourself. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Not like, you know, like in a way that's meaningful, that people will really, if they're listening properly, you know what I mean? Or more specifically, like if they're from Cali, you know what I mean? They're going to listen and really feel it, you know?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. That's what's up. Around what time did you start to make that transition, like you were talking about, from, the more like physical age that we were talking about with CDs and stuff, to the like more digital, like you started a SoundCloud?
Yeah, I've had a SoundCloud for I don't know. Like, I was uploading music to my music. I had a music MySpace page and I would upload music to that. And I had a SoundClick. Well, I don't even know if fucking SoundClick is around anymore. But there was that. That was, I was probably like 14 or 15, like in high school. But it wasn't, that was before like anybody was really paying attention to anything too much. Unless it was like, because like MySpace was more for like the alternative community, like, you know, like the punk rock and everything. That was, that on music, the music pages was more popping off than anything like rap wise was at the time. But like when I started really just going hard at like marketing on the internet and like trying to like fully transition from the old school thing was probably 2014 or 2015. And I kind of was like, okay, I need to have more of an online presence because this is, you know, whether I like it or not, this is the way that shit's going right now. And so, that was about the time. And I think even just like recently, I've started getting a grasp more on how to market myself and put myself out there, if that makes sense. Like, it took me forever to even upload shit to TikTok, you know, but I do now because I see how many views and like I'm getting these people in other countries on my page and their music. And I'm like, oh, this is dope. And I'm like, that kid, that, and my music is being put in the hands of people all around the world because of that. And so now that's where I'm focusing on now, is trying to like make that online presence kind of unavoidable without like leaving that authenticness of myself. Cause I still will press up CDs. I have like 2,000 stickers right now with a QRC code on it. You scan it, it goes right to my link tree and you have everything right there. Like, I'm still doing some of the old school shit, but I'm just mixing it with technology. You know what I mean?
That's what's up. Yeah, I think that's crucial. I think that's a good example that you're setting for a lot of other artists that are coming up and are going to be coming up. You know what I mean? Because they're going to be looking at folks that are putting out music, have been putting out music like you've been doing. And like, what are they doing? And that QR code thing, that's popping. That's about to, you know, especially now with folks getting back out there, I think that's really going to pop. And you're going to see a lot of QR codes out there and especially for music and musicians, you know what I mean? To give you access to their music, you know?
Yeah. And having like landing pages, like Linktree and shit, like the whole link in bio thing, that is so like useful, because instead of like, it just go like your QR code, just go into one thing, bam, you've got everything there. You don't like this song, there's this. You don't like this style, I got this. You know what I mean? You want to, you just, you know, want to just peep on my Instagram, it's right there. You know what I mean? And combining that with the old school of sticker slapping shit everywhere. Like this shit's, these are in Berkeley right now. I've got them slapped all over Petaluma. I'm going to send some to my folks at Humble. I'm just like, I mean, what's, the, you know, like all people got to do is pull out their phones and it's right there. And you know, it looks cool. It looks dope. So.
Yep. Yep. It's the modern thing. Yeah, send me some of those. I'll slap some up for show and Humble.
Shit, bet. Just send me your address. I got you. I'll send some shit ASAP.
You know, the last couple tracks that you dropped, you've dropped videos for as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. The latest one was Slipping, I know, right? The video Slipping.
Yes, sir.
That one was fire.
Thank you. Thank you. When I was younger, I took a lot of film editing classes and shit like that. So I my girlfriend shot the video, but I do all like the editing and stuff. And that's pretty much how I do all my shit, just cause I don't like depending on other people and like waiting on the other people and shit like that. But yeah, I put out Slipping video. And that shit took me forever to fucking work on because my shit kept crashing and shit, but it's finally out. And I had a lot of fun shooting it. I shot it at the carnival down here in Petaluma. It was really, because I'm shy as fuck. Believe it or not, I'm hella shy and I have like social anxiety. And so like to be like, you know, doing my thing with a bunch of random people who can't hear the music that I'm listening to in my headphones was like super awkward at first. But luckily, like, you know, it's my girl shooting it and I'm comfortable with her. So it was like, it ended up being a lot of fun. I went into it super anxious, but I ended up like having a good ass time with it. And, I'm very happy with the way it turned out. I'm very happy with that.
Heck yeah. That's what's up. That's real cool when you have two elements. First of all, the skills to be able to edit, you know, cause that's saving you some, you know, money right there. And then folks in your close immediate circle that are willing to help out, you know, like on a squad it's level.
Very,
like
very important. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Shout out to folks that are helping us in our immediate circles, especially, you know, as we come out of COVID and start to get things rolling. I know a lot of different artists that are, you know, have a lot of plans and are going to be dropping and just doing a lot of big things in 2022. And so shout out to the artists, shout out to the supporters, shout out to the fans. Because it's a whole ecosphere of energy that that the artists are given, that you're going to be given on April 23rd at that concert. Yes. That's going to be fire, you know. And then, oh heck yeah! And then folks are going to be giving that energy back when they see you. They're going to be listening to your music on Spotify, you know, or different platforms. Yeah. You know what I mean? So
it's just a circle of energy, and you got to keep that shit. You know, like. I appreciate every single person who listens to my music or even just like shares my shit. I definitely want to give you a huge like shout out and thank you for being so like patient with my whack ass schedule and shit like that, because I'm really excited to do this. And I just wanted to thank you for like letting me talk about like my history and like recognizing my part in history. Cause I feel like I have felt in the past, like people just kind of overlooked how deep in the shit I got and was and continue to be. So I just wanted to say thank you for like giving me a platform to like speak about it, you know?
Oh, for sure. No, you're very welcome. I'm blessed to have you on to be able to give some of the history. I definitely, like I've said to the other folks that have been on, but I'm going to say it to you as well. I know that there's more history that we didn't even get into right now, you know? So I'm you know, definitely hoping to get you on for further episodes as you drop more and more music. You know what I mean? Feel free to think of this podcast as just, you know, another channel to be able to get, you know, information out to the community about what you're doing. You know what I mean? That's what this is for. You know, that's what I'm here to do. Yeah.
Hell yeah, hell yeah. Maybe we should link up for a podcast when I'm in town. That would be sick.
That's what's up. I'm looking forward to that. Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.